Luke and I go back a long time, actually. I remember him actually being born. It's nice to see these young men grow up in the truth and to come and exhort us. And now we look to him now to lead us to the emblems through moments for us.
Thank you. He's not quite showing his age there, is he? But it's close. So yeah, I mean, looking at the readings that we have for today, if you wouldn't mind turning to the 1 Corinthians, quite fortunate really that I wasn't speaking this time last year with the chapter that we'd have before the ones that we have today. I'm sure you can understand why with the principles of marriage and things like that. But there's only a couple of verses that I want us to focus our minds on from this chapter. And that's at the end of chapter 9, where we read in verse 24 to the end. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. And clearly we see there with Paul's observation with athletes, and I'm sure races that maybe he had seen, or perhaps this ecclesia here we're talking about, it's clear to him that he recognised in them that they had temperance, which, if you don't know what that means, it's just another word for self-discipline. And it's something that he recognised, that they had the character to be self-disciplined, but how sad it was that it was just completely in the wrong thing. And it seems a little coincidental with the sporting event that happened yesterday that we can't focus on these words. You know, there was a fight that was sort of biggest marketing, whatever, you know, thing to go towards it, just because these two men from different fights and different backgrounds, one with loads of experience, one were not, were going to have a fight with each other. With all the money and the things that were involved with it, everybody was told it was everything that they'd have to see. Now, what interested me about these two was the efforts that they went to condition their bodies to be in peak performance before their fight. We're talking about the extent to their nutrition, with measuring how many carbohydrates, fats, proteins, things like that they would have. One of them was training underwater, can you believe, in order to improve recovery time and things like that. Now, the reason I'm telling you that is because they were disciplined. They were disciplined in their work in order to achieve something which was perishable. You know, even if it was for their pride, pride doesn't last very long. If it was money, we know that rots and it dies. And if it was for a title, well, it will just go to the next person the next year. Yet what Paul is asking us to focus on is to be temperate, to be self-disciplined for the thing that we strive for. Now, we might come to this passage again a bit later, but let's just remind ourselves. Turn, if you would, please, to Isaiah 35. We could read the whole chapter, couldn't we, in Isaiah 35, of that future glory of Zion, but we'll only read a couple of verses just to put ourselves into the mindset, just to think about our imperishable crown that we hope that we'll have. We'll start at verse 8. A highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And so our focus, especially thinking about what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, is that our focus is on something of love, something of peace, of a hope that we all share, every single one of us in this room, of the kingdom. Where there'll be peace in Jerusalem, where we read there, where there'll be everlasting joy. The goals and the things and the perishable things of this world. What Paul is clearly showing too is that if you go after them, you can be self-disciplined, but it will be for a moment and it will go away. Yet with our promise, with what we're focusing on, it's something that's everlasting. And so how do we focus our minds on the things of the truth? How do we focus our minds so that when the kingdom does come, we condition ourselves to be in peak performance? What are the aspects that we need to do to ensure that in mind and in heart, we are ready for the kingdom? In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 we read, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Now, of course, the context to Joshua is the book of the law, but I'm sure we could have picked any verse that tells us that we should read. Now, it's very easy, and I'm sure all of us here who, I know a lot of you have been baptized a lot longer than me, but I'm sure we all of us in here know what we should do, but the difficult thing is how to do it. Studying, of course, as we see there in that Joshua verse that we read, studying, reading, it can have an impact on us, can't it? It can change our hearts, it can change our thoughts. And sort of some of the questions that I wanted to ask you to think about was, have you ever studied and really felt involved in it and really seen? So for example, have you ever looked through the Psalms of David? And as you're looking through them and you can see how grateful he is, and you can see how David sees God as a shield and all the things that he's done and walked all the way through, and you feel at the end of it, you can see that relationship and it uplifts you. And you feel that. And what feelings does it give you? And when you have those feelings, does it impact or have an effect on your decision making and your judgments? You see, thinking about this, when we study and when we spend time studying, it affects our minds and our hearts, doesn't it? And if, let's say, there's two examples. Example one, we've sat watching a TV of some television program, and someone that we love walks in and asks us to do them a favour. How do we respond? And if, let's say, we have studied and we've looked at something that really speaks to us, perhaps it's something in the Proverbs, the wise words in the Proverbs. Perhaps it's the compassion and the love of Ruth. And we read those and we spend time for an hour focusing on those things, and we feel that gratitude that God's given us the time to look at that. And someone that we love comes in to ask us to do a favour. How do we respond? So that's one of the key aspects, of course, reading and studying in our discipleship, on our walk. That's one of the main parts of what we do. Because if we do study, you know, on Thursday I was doing a class on the four faces of the cherubim. If you don't know what it is, we can talk about it afterwards. But John is the face of the perfect judge. And one of the key themes that comes out of the Gospel of John is Christ's spiritual insight, You might remember when he calls Nathanael, which is unique to the Gospel of John, where Nathanael's just, how do you know me? He's completely shocked. And of course, some of that's to do with the Spirit. But a lot of other examples in the Gospel of John, we see it's because Christ's understanding of the Word that he was able to make the perfect judgment. And so for us, in our study and in our reading of the Word, so too it can impact our hearts and our minds when making a decision. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians. Here's another example, or another aspect, I should say. We'll look at three this morning, of how to condition ourselves to be ready, to discipline ourselves, how to focus on God and the things of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And of course, something that we know so well, another aspect of our discipleship, of how we can focus on God, of course, is prayer. And we see there in 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing, rejoice always, give in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And perhaps a question for all of us to think about is, when was the last time that we prayed just to give thanks? Just to focus our minds on all of the blessings that God gives to us every day. When was the last time that we filled our minds and we said, I'm going to meditate and I'm going to pray to my God, to build on that relationship, to communicate with him? When was the last time? When was the last time we thanked and felt so incredibly blessed by God because we were focusing on him? See, again, we can use that example, can't we? If we spent an hour focusing on something of the world, perhaps we've spent an hour just focusing on work, and then we spend an hour focusing totally in prayer to our God. How does that impact our decision making in those moments? What impact does it have on you? And of course, for every single one of us, when we're focused on the things of God, when we're focused on the love that Jesus showed, when our minds are thinking about that and we're reading about words and we're learning new things, of course, it has an impact on us, on our hearts and on our minds. Let's go to Hebrews for a second. Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore, verse 11 of Hebrews 4, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. That word diligent is to use speed, isn't it? Lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I hope that you can see here is that for us to be temperate, for us to discipline, I hope what's coming out and what I hope will is that it's not easy for us to do. But like the athletes that Paul observed, we've got to discipline ourselves. We have got to be self-disciplined in these things. Let's look at another aspect, fellowship. Turn to chapter 10 of Hebrews. Verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves, as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And we see how fellowship should be with each other there. And so, with the three aspects that we've looked at, and I'm sure that there's more and you could think of more, but with those three, are they natural for us to do them? Any of them? What questions go through our mind when we're thinking about study later, reading later? What are the questions that go through our minds when we're thinking about praying, when we know it's the right thing to do? We know what to do, but how is the difficult thing? How can I really show that love and fellowship when I'm completely different to all my other brothers and sisters? Perhaps that's another question that crosses your mind. I'm going to suggest that these things are not natural to us. These are difficult for us to do. I think so from my own experience anyway. You might want to, if you've got a different story, a different example, I'd love to hear about it. But something that's quite clear to me is that they're not natural and they're quite difficult for us to always focus our minds. There might be times when we do it. And when we do it, we might get that joy and that understanding if we've studied. If we've prayed, we'll have those moments when we do feel connected to our Creator. What came to my mind at this point was Romans. Can you turn to Romans, please? Romans chapter 12. With the questions that we probably ask ourselves when coming to it, you know, for example, with study, how much time do I really have to study later on might be a question. When it comes to prayer, or when I do try to pray, there's so many distractions going through my mind that I find it difficult to. So I'll say this little prayer now and we'll get on. Perhaps when it comes down to fellowship, we might ask ourselves, well, how can I show my love when I am so different to my brothers and my sisters? Perhaps these are questions that go through your minds. They might be. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, we read this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. With the ideas that we thought about with self-discipline and focusing on the right things, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And perhaps then, if that is the case, perhaps we need to ask a different question for a different answer, so that when it does come down to study, perhaps the question would be, how can I study? How can I ensure that my study happens today and every day? When it comes down to prayer, how can we ask ourselves, what would the right question be? Perhaps it would be, what needs to happen in order for my mind to be prepared that I can totally meditate and pray to our God and offer thanksgiving for what He's done? And perhaps if it came down to fellowship, perhaps a question could be, how could I learn to love my brothers and sisters despite my differences? A different question for a different answer. And it's difficult to focus our minds. It's difficult to do these things. We'll look at some other examples as well of other scriptures. If you turn to the Gospel of Luke, please. Luke chapter 12. perhaps just to stem some further thoughts for yourself. This is Jesus speaking. Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you," in verse 22, "do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest?" Verse 29. "And do not seek that which you should eat, or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." We will look at one of those. If you wouldn't mind, please turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Some further thoughts, just to think about our emotions, and when we focus on these things, what emotions and how is it that impacting our judgment and our decision making? Colossians 3 verse 2. "Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death," the thinking of the renewing of minds that we looked at in Romans, "your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them." Verse 12. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against you, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." And that word in verse 15, rule, is the word umpire. It's either in or it's out. And for me, that gives me the impression that with every day, on our walk, in our discipleship journey together, we have the choice to focus on God or not to. And perhaps we need to ask ourselves some different questions. Now, just to make sure that we're all on the same page, turn again back to Romans chapter 6. Because it's important, isn't it, that we understand that we do not do these things in order that we earn or deserve to be in the kingdom. We see in Romans that come out through Paul's writing, verse 15, "What then shall we sin, because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, that you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. And of course, as you go through Romans, we see that we do not earn, we cannot do good works in order to earn salvation. It's something that is a gift from God. And so therefore, we do these things. Why? Not because we are slaves of sin, because we should be slaves of righteousness. And so let's turn back to that, to our third reading, to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. With all the thoughts that we've had and the words that we've been able to read, where do these verses sit with you now? 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. And now we come to remember He who has given all of us Gentile people a chance of salvation. Thank you.